When Congress convenes next week, there will be bigger Republican majorities in both chambers. Still, the Democratic minority remains significant in at least one place, the United States Senate, where they have the power to slow down or stop legislation unless Republicans change the rules. Republicans are 5 short of the 60 votes required to pass key legislation. With Minority Leader Tom Daschle retired by voters in November, the new man in charge of the Senate's 44 Democrats is Harry Reid. He's the former minority whip, and he comes from the red state of Nevada. He's a Mormon convert. He's pro-gun. He's anti-abortion. And he's a strong ally of the mining industry. Yet Reid, a one-time boxer, says he'll fight for Democratic causes. NPR's David Wellna has this profile.
Right after his fellow Senate Democrats chose him unanimously last month to be their new leader, Harry Reid told a room full of Capitol reporters that if he could make it in America, anyone could.
My parents were uneducated. My dad didn't even graduate from the 8th grade. My mom didn't graduate from high school. We had no social standing, even in Searchlight.
That would be Searchlight, Nevada, a tiny, struggling mining town an hour's drive south of Las Vegas. Harry Reid was born there in a wooden lean-to 65 years ago. 18-wheeler trucks hardly need to change gears as they roll through Searchlight. It's still a tiny town that looks more like a big trailer court draped over a topsy-turvy landscape. Standing outside the Searchlight Nugget Casino, taking it all in, is the new leader of the Senate's Democrats, almost unrecognizable in a black baseball cap, dark sunglasses, and nylon sweatsuit. Harry Reid points to a hill rising to one side of the road.
The big business while I was growing up was prostitution. You know, all up in there, there's one time as many as 13 houses of prostitution. That's what kept the town jumping.
What seems to keep Searchlight jumping these days is this road. Reid helped widen it from 2 lanes to 4 with federal highway dollars. Another local attraction is Reid himself, who spends his days away from Congress at a house he built on the edge of Searchlight.
So how do you like our view?
Reid's house looks out across a desert landscape dotted with creosote bushes and Joshua tree cactus, as well as memories.
These were mining claims that my parents worked, my dad worked down, and I'd go down the holes with him all through here.
Reid says he and his wife had thought of calling this place Capitol Hill. In the end, they decided against it. But these days, Reid's Senate colleagues never seem far away. Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander has just called, and when the phone rings again, it's Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden on the line. Since the November election, Reid is arguably the nation's most powerful Democrat, but he seems slightly annoyed when asked if he's the new face of his party.
I'm going to do what is appropriate to represent the Democratic senators, and as far as faces and all that go with it, that'll just have to, whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to be out looking to be the face of anything. I'm just who I am. Hope I can continue to be who I have been.
Reid's voting record shows him to be a bit more conservative than the average Senate Democrat. It's his opposition to abortion, though, that clearly sets him apart from most of his caucus, and he shows no signs of changing that stance.
I don't know. It's just a personal conviction I have, probably developed in a lot of different ways and sources, but that's how I feel, and I've always been that way. We have a lot of my friends who have switched back and forth, but I've always just been the same and will continue to be.
As for the related issue of judicial appointments, Reid says that if anything, Senate Democrats were too lenient in approving more than 200 of President Bush's nominees. And he has no apologies for supporting Democratic filibusters that blocked 10.
We Democrats are not going to be obstructionists. We are, however, going to live up to what we feel is our constitutional obligation, and that is to give advice and consent to the president on nominations that he's forced us, whether it's a cabinet or whether it's a judge.
Last week, President Bush ignored a letter from Reid requesting that he be consulted before nominations are made. Instead, Mr. Bush resubmitted most of the nominees to the federal bench who'd been blocked by Democrats. And Senate Republican leader Bill Frist has warned that he could resort to the so-called nuclear option, a parliamentary device to end filibusters on judges. Reid warns that should Senate Republicans do that, they will rue the day.
Not only from the fact that there will be some short-term consequences, because I know the rules of the Senate and I will do things to make sure that they understand that we are not appreciative of what they've done, but also the long-term consequences, they're not going to be in the majority forever.
Reid sees the minority having an even more vital role under one-party rule. They are, he says, the final voice against what he calls outrageous initiatives, among which he includes putting some Social Security taxes into private retirement accounts.
I will oppose any privatization of Social Security. Any privatization of Social Security will be the beginning of the ruination of Social Security.
And do you think that you will have unanimity in your caucus on that point?
We will not allow them to do that. And I have already filled out my caucus, and they support me on these statements I'm making.
Those who know Reid well say he's not to be underestimated.
He is one of the single most ruthless Machiavellian guys that I've ever met in politics.
At a restaurant in Las Vegas, veteran Nevada political analyst John Walston describes watching Reid's quiet rise in power during 18 years in the Senate.
It's almost the antithesis of how he presents himself in public, as kind of soft-spoken, almost charismatically challenged. But he is so skillful at dealing one-on-one with other human beings, and especially in that very clubby Club of 100, he's been able to do a very, very effective job of building relationships.
Back at the Capitol, Reid's Senate colleagues, both Democratic and Republican, have applauded his rise. Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson, who has one of his party's most conservative voting records, nominated Reid for his new job. He thinks Reid will help counter a negative image for Senate Democrats.
We had the appearance that we wanted to ban the Bible, burn the flag, force same-sex marriage, and change the Pledge of Allegiance, and a whole host of things as a caucus and as a party. And it's up, I think, now to our leader to help reverse those views.
Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions thinks Reid should take his Democratic colleagues to the woodshed.
I think he needs to probably assert himself a little bit, frankly, and to make clear that altering the ground rules to filibuster judges systematically for the first time in history is counterproductive to the confirmation process and the Democratic Party.
Minority Leader Reid's not saying which weapons he'll use when. But on the day he landed his new job, he gave this warning.
I always would rather dance than fight, but I know how to fight.
At one point in a recent filibuster over judges, Reid read for hours on the Senate floor from a book he wrote about Searchlight. He says there are still many more chapters to be read, if it comes to that. David Wellna, NPR News.